G'day friends, I'm Anissa Hill and welcome to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. Here we tell the stories of people who have done just that, moved to Costa Rica. In episode 17, Malcolm speaks to New Jersey native Steve Michael. Steve speaks about the moment he found out he was going to be a father, family life in Costa Rica, and his love for Gallo Pinto. If you'd like to watch the video of this episode, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Move to Costa Rica podcast for new episodes released every Thursday. Head to www.movetocostaricapodcast.com. Without any further delay, here is your host, Malcolm Hill.
Welcome to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. I'm your host, Malcolm Hill. And today we're going to be speaking with Steve Michael. Now, I met Steve a couple of years ago on the surf. We were surfing a really good day out at Playa Negra, if I remember correctly. And yes. For anyone who's ever surfed in Costa Rica, you'll know that Playa Negra is like one of the most famous probably beaches in the country because of the quality of the waves. And I remember we briefly got to know each other that day, and I remember looking at Steve thinking, he's another one of those guys who realized like getting away from the West early on in life might be an exciting thing to do. And mate, everything I've seen about your life since then, you look like, you're getting the most out of it, which is really cool. But, mate, I know you're a father of a little boy called Alex, who's around 2 years of age. Is that right? Is he about that?
Yeah, about two and a half. Yeah, two and a half, almost three, I'd say, and about now.
So this morning I saw like this cool photo of you taking him like on a morning motorbike ride to like check the surf and look for monkeys. My little guy, Maverick, he loves monkeys as well, like whenever we go outside he's hoping to see them and like trying to point into the trees for them. But mate, what have been the best things about being a dad in Costa Rica for you?
Oh, best things about being a dad, the life here is a lot slower for certain aspects of it, but being from New Jersey, in the East Coast, we get so caught up, I feel like, in a rat race there. My father, he was running his plumbing business and just seeing how fast, especially now being a father, especially like it just goes by so quick, and you see it too. I see the photos of you guys and, it's just, it all goes by so quick. As crazy as I have to say is that even with COVID right now and just being out here in general with the slower life, I mean, I get to watch them grow every day, and it's even with work. What we do is when we have the groups come out and families here, my son and my fiance, they come to work with me pretty much every day. And, he gets to interact. He's not going to get to just experience this culture, but he also gets to experience like our culture back home and pretty much cultures all over the world, from everybody that comes in and visits. So it's been a crazy experience. You really start to see it more from you watch how our parents cared about us so much and wished we were in like a bubble and everything like that, and now I see it, it's your everything, but it's this experience. And especially out here, like you said, we take them on the motorbike in the morning, we take them on the motor to go check the surf and you're just, it's more free, it's kind of like the Wild West, especially out here in Guanacaste.
I totally know what you mean about it being the Wild West. I took Maverick to a beach this morning and like there was no one there, and like we hung out for like 30-40 minutes and swam and played in the rock pools, and there was no one around, and I just thought to myself, like they talk about the Garden of Eden in the Bible. Pretty much everyone learns about that. Mm-hmm. and they talk about how the nature's all around and, you don't need much more than like a leaf to cover you because the temperature's perfect and, there's birds and animals. And I'm like, man, like Costa Rica feels in certain ways at certain times, really feels like that.
Yes, I agree.
It's epic. Mate, well, thanks for giving a little bit of an introduction there to kind of fill in a gap. Mate, Steve, like, just share with people what you and your wife do here.
So what we do here is families from wherever, the East Coast. We get a lot of people from California. Also, we've had New Zealand, which was, you know, a great experience, totally different culture as well. But, you know, guests come out here, and whether it's with kids, it's all ages and everything. We really enjoy the families. But you guys come here, we set you up in, you know, in a really nice house. It's either going to be beachfront or at least walking distance to the beach. And really, it's, we provide you a more personalized vacation. It's, you know, you come in, you know, as you know, just a guest, but, you know, you're going to leave as family with us. You know, we bring in our cook, Maria, local woman in town, been there all her life, and she prepares typical dishes for everybody. You know, we do the breakfast, we do lunches, ceviches, and then a killer dinner, you know. I'm your serve guide, and if I'm tied up with other people in the family, I have one of my local buddies here to help me out. And Irina's around as well. She'll take the wives to yoga. If you guys want massages, if you want to just go hang out in the pool, you know, it's your vacation. So really, we're just here to give you advice, feed you excellent food, and transport you to our beautiful beaches. You know, it's really an experience. You know, you go out to the resorts, which are great, everything like that. But if you want to, this is more of a, I moved to Costa Rica for the culture. My fiance is Tika. You know, it's very friendly people. And my son now, you know, it's sharing this culture and sharing everything Costa Rica has to offer is something that we really enjoy, you know, so much. You know, it's a blessing that we get to do that too. I forget that I'm working sometimes. Actually, all the time I forget I'm working, because, you know, I'm either surfing with the families, or we're hanging out at the pool, going to the nice pools to check out, you know, views. You know, it's amazing.
You're doing what you'd want to do, and you're doing what you'd do anyway.
Exactly.
You're just taking people along for the ride, mate. It's very cool.
Exactly.
Mate, so let's rewind a little bit and go back to New Jersey. Tell us about your life before Costa Rica.
So life before Costa Rica, younger I grew up, I actually didn't surf much. I guess you could say I pretty much focused on surfing once I moved here about 6 years ago. But growing up, I was I actually grew up racing motocross. I have a history of racing motocross. And then I graduated high school, and that's when I really started competing more. I started running my father's plumbing and heating business, which, you know, I enjoyed doing. Again, it was in the rat race. You know, I had purchased my own house back home when I was, I forget, like maybe 23 years old. And, you know, we had, it was fun. We were fortunate enough that we had my father has a successful business. And then, like I said, and then after high school, I focused on work with him, but traveling the East Coast. Had a bad accident racing motocross. I was in a coma. It took about 3 months to actually get back on my feet to start walking and talking again. And so now it makes you realize in life, life's way too short. You know, you wake, it's scary to, you know, one day you're, let's just say, sitting at the starting line, you're just finishing up breakfast with your, you know, I remember having breakfast that day, and you're just finishing up a great breakfast. And then the next thing you know, you wake up in a hospital bed and you don't know what's going on. So, you know, it was the first time I actually saw my parents. That was the first time I saw my dad cry. And then, you know, you being a father now, it's like, I think about it, it's like, what am I going to do when my son says he wants to do that stuff? So, and then after the coma, got back on my feet, and I started traveling, racing jet skis, thinking that water was going to be softer to hit, but it's actually not. A couple of years of MMA, I got 7 years of MMA, and then I decided, you know, life is good back home in Jersey. I always swore, though, if I were I wasn't really planning on it. I always knew I would be a good father, but I just felt like I wasn't ever going to be ready for it. And then I thought, you know, I was single and, you know, you live once and life's too short. So I figured, you know what? I want to take all the things that my father taught me and I want to put it all together. I want to prove to myself that I can start a new journey on my own and maybe, you know, do something new. And I fell in love with Costa Rica. I came out to the Rio and did a couple of trips there and then decided to venture off one year. And, next thing you know, I came home from the trip and I was like, Pop, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to move to Costa Rica. And then everybody was like, nah, you know, you're not doing that. You know, cause you always think when you're in places like this or on a vacation, you're like, dude, I could live here. You know, you're always thinking like, oh, dude, why not? I look at the plumbing in places. I was like, look, I could be a plumber here, you know? So I sold everything back home. I still had a mortgage on my house. My brother was renting my house for a while and I sold the toys and everything like that and just decided to move out here. I bought property here and now it's, man, you know, life is, you know, it's amazing, but the whole journey hasn't been easy. You know, it definitely hasn't been easy. I do miss Jersey. I do miss the rat race a little bit. Don't get me wrong. It is tough to adjust here. But,
so, you know. Steve, how old were you when you made that move, mate?
So 6 years ago, and I just turned 34. So, yeah, so that was, I don't know, you do the math.
So you're 28.
Yeah.
And how long was, like, how many trips down here did that take before you were like, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger? Like, what went into that? What went into planning all of that?
I came down, I would say like three times before that where I stayed like the Rio, just cause I only had a little bit of time to get a vacation done. I was just kind of go. And again, I didn't surf. So it was kind of like just come out, you know, with a friend or whatever and just kind of eat and drink all you could for like 6 days or whatever, then go back to work. Cause we got to get back to that race back home. And then I'd say the fourth trip I came out and decided to rent a car with a friend and just, you know, we explored and we ended up down in Tamarindo and I just started getting real friendly with the local people, you know, just local vibes and just there was a, I felt like it was like the place to be, you know, I felt like it was for me and made my decision there. And like I said, I didn't put too much thinking into it. I kind of just went home, pulled the trigger and just got rid of everything. And then September 14th, you know, I moved out here to Costa Rica. I packed up, I loaded my dog up. I brought my pit bull. I brought my pit bull Nye out from Jersey for the journey. I've had her since she was a baby and she's been by my side ever since. Well, now she's by Alex's side, but.
So bro, tell me about how you transitioned from kind of selling all your stuff, coming down here solo. I think you said you were on your own. You know, you purchased yourself a piece of land. Whereabouts?
I purchased the land in Avianas.
In Avianas. So Avianas, for those who don't know, is on kind of the northern Guanacaste coast, and it's a beautiful area. It's called Avianas, if I'm not mistaken, because of the almond tree or something like that.
That's
it's, I only learned that recently, so I'm like,
you know just about as much as me, bro.
but mate, I guess, did you go straight into running a tour business immediately, or tell me about that transition into living here full time?
So it's actually been quite the ride. You know, people hear stories of like nightmares that happen out here. You know. Scams and whatnot happening, you know, and it's not even local people, you know, it's something that happens to us in the US too. So when I purchased that land, I had the intentions of partnering up with somebody in the property next to me. Long story short, he ended up, you know, taking advantage and everything like that. So that was the first lesson learned, you know, and again, not to scare anybody from moving out here or anything like that, or, you know, making a decision, but it's just something we deal with everywhere. People, you know, that's their job, I guess. They find you when you're vulnerable and you're surrounded by paradise. So yeah, you're all right. You're a sucker. You got me. for, you know, a lesson learned. Through that, I was introduced to another person, which I ended up before this business now that we have, before Sea Coastal, we were with another company. And that kind of got me, it was the same idea as what we do now, focused more on like the hardcore surfers. But I did meet a lot of families that we still, I've had families here now coming 6-7 years in a row, you know, because they love, I get to watch their kids grow up, you know, the kids get excited. I know things as much as that when they get here, I have their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with the crust cut off and ready for them. So they come. And so I was in that other business too. Again, that didn't work out so far for me either, because a lot of people agree that, you know, being in a business, you know what, you don't want partners. So that was the next lesson learned. All right. So I got burned on that one, which we're actually still trying to get out of now. So the biggest thing out here that you learn is, you know, that I've learned is that, you know, karma is, it exists, you know? And it's why I'm talking to you guys now. I'm still here, you know, we're still here. So it's one thing about being out here is it's a journey. It's quite the adventure, you know, but, you know, and yes. Yeah.
I continually tell my wife, I'm like, you know, there's going to be just as much stuff tomorrow that blows our mind and is challenging and, you know, sometimes difficult to overcome, like just the odd, you know, the odd Costa Rica challenge of things not getting done on time or not working or breaking down. And whatever, you know, we're not in a society where like everything works all of the time. It's just not that type of country. But yeah, it's always good to remember like that stuff is still, it's still going to be there tomorrow, right?
Yeah, like exactly. Exactly.
So mate, I'm interested to hear how you and Irina, how did you two meet and fall in love?
When I first moved out here, I moved to Tamarindo. Just outside Tamarindo. I didn't want to be right inside the, right where all the, like, it's a busy town, you know, kind of partying all the time. But again, I came out, you know, single and just, you know, I kind of was trying to figure it out, trying to get on my feet. I didn't have a job here. It was really hard to find a job. So I was living in a 2-bedroom apartment that I had rented, and I actually ran into Irina. I was actually outside most of the days. I was building surfboard racks out of PVC pipe for people around town. And I would post on Facebook and just to make some cash for food and stuff. I'd go to the hardware store, pick up all the pipe, come back home. And then I'd build them a surfboard rack. And at the end of the day, I'd go meet up with them for a drink and get paid. And there's your bike now with, you know, nice rack on it. And it's cool now because you still go down to town and I see people pedaling around with, you know, with the racks on. It's really cool. But yeah, Irina came out here, and in the apartment, one thing I did was I was always immersed with Costa Ricans, with just like the culture. I didn't really hang out with Americans too much out here. I didn't speak any Spanish, you know, and I just wanted to, my way of learning is just to immerse myself. And that's what I did. I have friends in the apartment complex that, you know, I became real close with. And then Irina actually moved in. She's a dentist. She was a dentist out in San Jose, which is about 3.5-4 hours away from us. And she was filling in for one of the guys in the apartment complex. And I forget, it was actually one night we were all getting ready to just make dinner at the apartment. We used to have barbecues and we dance on Saturday nights and Sundays. And then after dinner at the apartments, we go down to Tamarindo and go to like a club and go hang out with all friends, play pool. So I went and knocked on her door, you know, one night, you know, just to get her part of the crew, you know, it was just friends. And, you know, months went by and we just became closer. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, but like I would always come home from partying, even if Irina was like working, I'd always come home from partying and she was in a whole nother, you know, cabina. And I would always find Naya, you know, the pit bull I brought out, sitting outside her door, or she would be inside, you know, like laying in bed with her. It's like she always had this like connection, you know. And then time went by. You know, months, even like maybe a year. And then, I was going to move from Tamarindo. So eventually Irina, she didn't want to do she lost the job doing dentistry over there because the guy came back. So it was her option to move back to San Jose to go do dentistry work, you know. Or what she decided to do was she, you know, asked me, she's like, you think you would care if, you know, she wanted to stay. So she stayed longer. And then we ended up finding her a job at a surf shop. And then she ended up renting. I left Tamarindo and I needed to have Naya live with somebody. So I gave Irina, I said, look, I said, if I leave Naya here with you, I said, I'll split the apartment, you know, and I'll come by. And each time I would go shopping for guests, you know, when I was working in, I eventually was working with this other company doing the surf tours. And 2 days out of the week, I'd come do the food shopping for guests. And Irina wasn't making much money at the surf shop. So I'd fill the fridge up with food, you know, and I'd go and spend a couple nights down there to hang out with them and all the friends, all the boys. And then we still did the same thing. And then, eventually, you know, it got down to it where it was like, Irina, I was like, we make a perfect team. It was like right under my nose the whole time, you know? So it was kind of just time to just, you know, I see myself with her and I don't want to see her ever going back to San Jose. So I said, look, I said, why don't you come out and work with me? You know, doing the surf tours, you know, we could, and you know what? It was the best thing that when guys would come out, their husbands would come out with their wives, she would hang out with them. And then she would even, Adrian was cooking the meals and everything for them. And it was just one big connection, you know? And then it was epic. It, you know, so, and now we have our baby boy.
Yeah. Like that obviously went from, you know, it sounds like you two fell in love pretty quick, which is awesome. And look where you are now, obviously. But for you, I guess, getting acquainted with the norms of, you know, falling in love with a Costa Rican girl, I imagine were very different to the dating experiences you'd had in North America. So I'm curious to hear your take on what stuck out to you the most when you were, you know, falling in love with your wife.
What stuck out most? It's just the way that she would always, it was just an exciting experience. You know, like me being an American, being the gringo out here, you know, not speaking much of the language. She had patience with me for that. Even all our friends, but even like when it came to, you know, we'd have the most fun if we went to just like one of the little typical bars, you know, just to get like a boca and a beer and a little snack. And then she would always, we just started dancing. It could be just us in there and there's just so much, you know, excitement, you know. And she just, not being able to speak the language and get around, you know, thank God for her, because she has the patience, you know. That's always the excitement, you know. And the family, you know, her family, you know, the culture, they're just so, you know, welcoming, you know, no matter, you know, where you're from, they just want to share with you everything. And it's the same way now. It's been 5 years now, and I look forward to her out in San Jose now at her family's house. And, you know, just the respect and the way they treat you. It's like I'm home, you know, it's like I'm back home.
I'd love to hear about that first moment you found out you were going to be a dad.
That was a wild one. It was a special moment for sure. But you know, I remember it, and so do my friends. You know, like I don't know if you'd ever be ready for it, but we were actually at the Fiestas. We didn't know for a while. We didn't know for a while that Adriana was pregnant. I think she was about 5 months already pregnant, four months or 5 months pregnant. So we had no idea. She wasn't showing anything. I just noticed that she could eat like two packs of bacon and she was just eating like a monster. So I'm thinking like, man, it's kind of weird. And then, yeah, every year we go to the Fiestas it was actually New Year's Eve. And then I guess you could say when the ball dropped in the US or when it was Happy New Year here, everybody was dancing around. And Adrian was like, can we go home? And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, we can't go home yet. She's like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, and that's when I was just like, you know, and I kind of like freaked out. Like I didn't freak out at her, but I kind of just like took a big gulp. I sat down and my friends, they laugh about it, you know, to this day. I just sat down and actually hugged Naya because Naya was with us at the fiestas. I just hugged her and I was just like, all right, you know, now it's time to, you know, get ready and put those daddy pants on and you know, life just got even more real, you know, like, woo. But best thing.
So to give the listeners some perspective, the fiestas, las fiestas, are some, it's a yearly event that every town in Guanacaste, almost, even the very little towns that might just have a few thousand people, they will put together like a rodeo. And then you go along to this rodeo and you dance and you drink and you watch people on bulls and there's music and there's food. And it's like the most traditional local thing I feel like anybody can experience around here. It's super fun. But that's crazy that that's the environment you were in when you found out you were going to be a dad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was cool.
Like, what was that journey to then the birth? Like, did you guys head back? Did you head from Guanacaste to San Jose for the birth? Well,
actually, unfortunately, I had to, we had with the previous company, I had a bunch of bookings and I had a group coming in. And at the time, it was pretty much just me. Irina was super pregnant. And, but when it was closer to the time, you know, we did find out the baby's, you know, the sex, we found out there was a boy, you know, so that was another special moment there. But that's what some guys really hope for. And so, you know, when the doctor gave us that news, I was excited. And then as we got closer to when she was, we were actually out in San Jose visiting her family, and we came out for the baby shower, and it was still pretty early though, but I had to get back for work, and I had a big group coming in. So I told Adriana, I said, look, babe, why don't you stay out in San Jose? I said, just in case, you know, Alec comes early or something, you never know. And sure enough, man, you know, I was super bummed to not be here for the birth, but I went home. And I had the group come in, and actually, you know, I was going to surf. We were getting ready to go surf one morning. We had just finished up like the pre-surf breakfast, and her mother called, or Irina called me and said, babe, she's like, I think my water broke. And I'm like, it's like so many weeks ahead of time. I said, I'm on the computer, you know, I'm getting ready. Google says that, you know, it could be like a little tear or something. And I said, you know, I got to go though. I got to get to work. I said, you know, just I'll be back in a little bit. Sure enough, you know, I took the crew out, hanging out with everybody, you know, making sure the kids are good on the beach. And then sure enough, I get back to the house and I got phone calls and her mom says, yeah, she's going into labor. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, so I'm like kind of like freaking, and I'm 4.5 hours, you know, 4 hours away from there. So I get off the phone. I'm like, guys, they're like, I'm like, you didn't isn't going into labor. They're like, well, dude, they're like, you got to go. I'm like, well, you know, can you just make sure the house is locked up? You know, like I'll be back, you know, like I just got to go, bro. I made that drive. I like literally to San Jose and I'm probably like an hour, dude, an hour and a half. I missed it by like 40 minutes or so getting to the city, but bro, I hauled to get there, and man, that moment, I'll tell you, it's like everything just, you know, when I went up to that room and saw him for the first time, and he was a preemie. He was like 5.5 weeks early. Okay. So he was very tiny, you know, he's pretty small. And, but I still, you know, when I got in there, I held him. I held him for probably like, you know, 4 hours or 5 hours, you know, I didn't want to let him go. And then, you know, it got to be nighttime. So I had to leave at nighttime to get back to make sure everything was all good over here. So, but yeah, man, after that moment of, you know, I mean, you know it, man, when you hold, you know, your baby for the first time, it's just everything just, that's what's important now, you know?
And it changes in an instant.
Oh, and just like that.
I definitely think for fathers, it's really hard. Well, nothing's hard for fathers compared to mothers. I need to rephrase the way I say that. Sometimes for men, because we don't carry the baby, we don't, it's harder for us to realize the kind of seriousness of what a child is going to be and how it's going to change your life. Whereas I think mothers feel that a little sooner because they have a baby growing inside them.
Yes.
And then, yeah, like you said, Steve, you hold that baby in your arms and you're like, oh, okay, I better start thinking seriously about life.
Exactly.
That's the immediate thought, like, oh, crap, okay, I've got a lot more responsibility than I used to have. It's just immediate. Yeah.
Yes.
That's definitely how I felt.
However, you know, you do have that responsibility, but I feel like those first, the beginning of it is it's a lot of mommy time. You know, it hasn't really hit us all that. And yeah, we'll change diapers here and there, but most of it's on the mom. You know, I give moms credit, you know, after the whole process, for sure. Women, they it's tough, you know.
Man, yeah, like I heard a guy say to me once, he was like, you know, the male human experience doesn't have anywhere near the like intense highs and lows of what ladies go through with like pregnancy and birth. It's just so much more extreme than I think anything. Yeah.
I agree.
We have to go through it. A lot of the photos on your social media, mate, show you and Alec and Irina exploring, seeing Costa Rica, like just getting out and like really like living it. There's a lot of different climates in Costa Rica. And some of our listeners may know the region of Guanacaste, where you guys live, it's known for having a dry season and then what we call the green season or rainy season. Can you tell us a little bit about the two seasons and what would you say to travelers who are considering visiting during one of those wetter months of the year?
When you're visiting, if you're looking to visit, you know, if you're looking to visit the Guanacaste area, as you know, when it's rainy season here, the surf can be it's not as consistent, you know, so, but it's still, you know, the rainy season, it does get a little boring depending like over by us in the Junquial area and Playa Negra area, it's all dirt roads, you know? So like I said, it's always an adventure, but when we get rain here during rainy season, especially like right now, it can be pretty heavy. So if you got to be prepared to deal with, you know, like Malcolm said, you know, we're spoiled in the US, you know, you got to learn to just go with the flow here and what happens happens, you know. It's a beautiful time of year though. Like I said, it's green, you know, you'll see more wild, you know, you get some more wildlife out there and you can still do tours, you know, let's just say the surf's not, you know, happening, you know, but we can go out, you know, there's ATVs. There's so much more to do. You know, it's really enjoyable. The dry season again, you know, I mean, the only complaint I guess you could say for the dry season is like when you're doing what we do is, so the roads by us with all the rain and the mud, it makes it tough to commute, you know? So it's like, we complain about the mud and all the rain and everything like that. And then in the dry season, we complain about the heat and then, you know, it could be a little dusty. Now you're complaining about too much dust on the roads, you know? So it's like, what do you want to deal with? You know, but it's little things, but when traveling out here in rainy season, if you're into just like nature and if you don't come to Guanacaste, you know, like you said, the climates, we went up to Cartago, you know, we went to go check out, the elevation is higher and it's cold, you know, like in the mornings you wake up and it's just fresh and it's beautiful. There's coffee. We were walking through, there's coffee fields everywhere. There's, you know, plantations all over. And then there's the volcanoes. And again, the wildlife is just different, you know? And then we, you know, we're going to head back to the beach. Now we're in San Jose. A little bit of rain, but at nighttime we're kind of wearing sweatshirts and just, you know, the climate's beautiful here. And then next week we're going to be back in Guanacaste to where it's going to be pretty hot, but you know, that's what we enjoy, you know, exploring that area. Guanacaste is great. The dirt roads, again, every day is an adventure. you hop on the motor, you hop in the truck, you know, you guys want to go to the estuary, you know, you want to go or just hang in the tide pools like you guys do. It's, you know, there's just something new. Every day is an adventure here, you know, and that's for sure.
What are some of the staple foods or dishes that are part of your daily diet now that you didn't eat before moving here?
Gallo pinto, rice and beans. Yeah, I mean, to me, the gallo, I was big. I love oatmeal and everything like that. But gallo pinto, that's like that's the staple for breakfast, you know. Rice and beans mixed together, which is, you know, it's delicious. You know, fried eggs, you put that with some fried eggs or scrambled eggs, however you like it. Some meat, maybe some fried cheese. And that's your typical, you know, that's your typical breakfast right there. And man, that's good. Yeah, rice and beans, I really never ate too much of, you know, but now you find yourself eating it, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner most of the time, you know, so you have your breakfast, the rice and beans are together. And then for lunchtime, it's like you have rice and beans, but the casado, which is your main dish here, the casado is going to be rice and beans, but it's separated, you know, and then you have your veggies, your salad. And then, but yeah, I would say that's the staple here would be the pinto.
Dude, I love it as well, mate. I love rice and beans and I love gallo pinto and I love all the local food. And sometimes I'll be eating local food and I shock myself because I think, you know, I never thought there'd be a period of my life that I ate this healthy, this consistently.
Yeah.
Because I didn't eat healthy when I lived in Australia. I used to eat fast food all the time, like just constantly and didn't care about my diet whatsoever. So moving here, it's almost like you're forced sometimes to eat healthy because that's what there is and that's what tastes good. And that's good, mate.
No, I agree. You know, every once in a while you get a little treat, some chicharrones here and there, but for the most part, you really, what's there? You have your salad, your veggies and rice and beans and a nice, like a nice batido, a nice natural juice to go with it.
Yeah, it's great. And that's why the area where, like Guanacaste, we've said this in a couple of other podcasts, but it's a blue zone. So like people live to an older age than they do in other parts of the world. And man, so much of it has to do with the diet.
Yes.
Yeah, just because the rice and beans, like it's not that bad for you to eat all the time.
No.
It's all right. Steve, now that you've been here for 6 years, you've seen, I'm sure in your area, many foreigners come and go who perhaps thought they were going to live here in Costa Rica. Some of them have stayed. In hindsight, for you, is there anything you would have done differently in your moving process? And my follow-up question after that is there any advice you'd have for people who are considering relocating their lives here?
So for the first question, no, I mean, anything differently? No. I mean, kind of jumping into it, like I said, it's been one big lesson though. Everything, like you've mentioned, it's not easy. And especially in Guanacaste, again, it's the Wild West, but everything from truck repairs, you know, we enjoy those dirt roads. But we don't enjoy how every time we go on them that, you know, there's new sounds coming out of the vehicle that you're driving or, you know, and or something breaking in the middle of, you know, in the when you're like halfway, you know, down to Marbella or whatever, you know. So it's always something. So it takes that type of person, I guess you could say, like the MacGyver, you know, type of person. Like back in the day, we used to watch MacGyver. You could pretty much make anything happen with, you know. Right about now, my favorite thing is zip ties and you know and duct tape to get us home at least. You know, you have to have that kind of. Almost like a skill and patience. You really need patience here, you know. I've had numerous times, you know, on tours in the previous company with guests and just with things breaking in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, you don't want to panic. You don't want to panic because then it's going to, you know, kind of freak everybody else out. But it turns into an adventure. You know, I've had shocks snap on trucks. And then the exciting part, you know, what the guests find more exciting is that my Spanish is getting better, but we just find a mechanic, or we find somebody in a garage with a welder somehow, and we buy them a couple beers. And next thing you know, the guests are all hanging out in the garage, and everybody's just hanging out. You know, we're all watching this guy work on this truck, and we're all walking around just seeing, it's beautiful. They're watching monkeys, and it's just an exciting, you know, it's exciting, but it's not for everybody. Again, the people usually last maybe a couple months. I would say, 3 months is good for some people. It's great for vacation. I'd say for most people, it takes a different type of person to actually live here and to make it through all the seasons. You know, that would be advice too, is to get down here and make it through the rainy season, you know, and see how, and see how you enjoy it. You know, of course, different areas, Tamarindo, Flamingo, they're more built up, you know, more, there's more to do. You have your shops and everything, but again, low season, everything's closed. So it becomes like it's dead. It's pretty dead here at that time of year. So now you're going to be home, or you got to find other things too. My mom is one of those people. She can't stand, like, she always says that, move here and this and that. And I had her stay down here for 3 months one time, and man, she couldn't handle it. She can't handle it. Even just simple things like getting the perfect shampoo you want, or just, you know, those things that you're so spoiled with getting back home. I mean, look back home, you can go on Amazon and order what you want. It shows up at your door the next day. I mean, here it doesn't work like that. So yeah. It's difficult. I've had so many, times where, yeah, I have questioned times where it's just like, man, what was I thinking? You know, it's like, wow. Also, you know, it's like when the people that are around, you know, it's just, and when we do, like when we're catering to our, when we're hosting the guests and everything, you know, you're worried more about them, you know, being comfortable and being happy, you know? So now it's more stress for you. So yeah, the one thing I would say is if you were thinking of making the move out here, do a couple trips, do 3 months, you know, start out with a week, do 3 months, then do 6 months, and then see how you make it, you know, before you go selling everything like that. I don't regret, you know, I don't regret what I did. You know, I think that would have been the way I did it was the way I learned fastest. You know, especially out here, managing the homes, what we do is, not that I'm a property manager, but I kind of am, but getting around and fixing stuff in houses when they break for gas, and it's just, you kind of get thrown into it. So you're forced to learn it, and you learn the mechanics, the carpenters, the electricians, you learn, you know, you get, make so many connections in town by just, you know, like, I guess learning the hard way.
You know? Stuff breaks all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Stuff breaks at your house, stuff breaks on your car,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of life here. And because you can't just purchase and replace like you can in other countries, you learn to fix because you have to fix. Exactly.
You know, that's it.
For sure,
that's,
mate.
It. You know, everything from the construction to the everything in construction out here, the mechanics for cars, you know, you need patience. And it's good to have a little bit of those skills that to bring from home, you know, or have someone with you that can do it to kind of just keep an eye on things. You know, when you go to a mechanic out here, you kind of want to do it once over and double check everything, you know, maybe even check it over 3 times. It's not going to hurt. And then like, and the construction of houses, yeah, things break all the time, you know, but it's, I enjoy the excitement. I, you know, it's something to do.
Nothing in life, like, there's no such thing as like have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, absolutely everything has trade-offs. And like, some of the trade-offs of living in Costa Rica are you don't have Amazon, you can't get whatever you want at an instant. It depends. I mean, if you live in San Jose, man, San Jose has everything. San Jose is a big metropolitan city that has department stores that has, you can go find and purchase pretty much anything you want there. But in some of the more remote areas, you just don't have that same commercial access. But that's what many of the foreigners that I know, that's what many of them wanted to escape anyway.
Yes.
They wanted to escape their ability to have so much right at their fingertips, because it can distort, you know, it can distort reality a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a number of times. We have guests that come out that stay like 2 weeks, you know, and then when they first get here, like we're on our way back from the airport, taking them to the house, and like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. I'm thinking about making the move out here and doing that. And it's easier said than done. You know, when it comes time to make that move and to actually go through with it. And once you're here, you know, then they're here, but then they see what can go on in a matter of a week or 2 weeks. And they're like, dude, you know, they see what we deal with. And like, nah, yeah, maybe, you know, we're spoiled back home. Maybe we just like what we have and we'll see you next year for, you know, maybe we'll do 3 weeks next year, you know? So.
There's times I notice myself thinking like, why do I have to deal with this particular thing today? But I'll try to think of an example, but like I have to drive on this particular road because that other one washed away last week when there was a lot of rain, you know, things like that. And I just think that's something I never thought would be part of my life, like having to make decisions because of the severity of weather, but regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe that's a strange example, but it is what it is.
No, it's good. That's a good example.
Steve, mate, we're gonna wrap up in just a sec. I think from everything you mentioned, like you wanted to start a new life here in Costa. You wanted to kind of do something different, as you said, to kind of the path that had been trod before you in New Jersey with your family. And it's really cool, mate, that you've done that. You've achieved that in many ways. And you're, you know, as day by day goes, you're living what you wanted. So I'm well done, Steve.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. You know, thank you. It's been tough, and especially with COVID and everything that went on, we haven't had travel out here for 5 months now. You know. So now it just got even tougher. It's like this wasn't in the books. You know, this wasn't supposed to happen. Now we've been out of work, and now we're trying to get by out here. You know, and it's just. You know, but you just have to cherish those moments, you know? I mean, yeah, it's sad what's going on, but you know what? It the time that it's been with family and what we've been getting to do out here and being where we are now, it's like we were watching TV the other day and they did a special on like Costa Rica and it's like you look at it and it's like, wow, we live here, you know? Like it's amazing to think that you live in a place like that, you know? Like who would have thought? And it's amazing, you know? So yeah, you know, be grateful, and should just be grateful. And it's just, it's amazing, you know, and the ride's not over yet. You know, who knows is coming up, who knows what the future is going to bring. And I think it's going to be, I know it's going to be great for all of us, you know?
Somebody said to me recently that Costa Rica doesn't receive really any negative press in foreign news. You know what I mean? Like, for sure, there's some internally here with politics. People are right on both sides, and they will have heated discussions about those things. But like from a foreign perspective, like you never really hear too much negative stuff about Costa Rica, and it's because it just has so much going for it. And obviously, I started a podcast about people moving here, so I've drunk the Kool-Aid, as they say.
Yeah, you did.
but it is really pretty. Pretty dank here. It's pretty rad, you know. Like day-to-day life is extremely exciting. It's never dull, and it makes you want to just get more and more out of it every day, which is fun.
That's what I always say. That's what I always say. Sorry, I always say that too. Though there's never a dull moment. You know, it never is. You know.
But Steve, where can people find you online?
You could search, you could visit us at seacosta.com, www. But that's S I like Steven Arena, I guess, like C Costa. So S-I Costa, C-O-S-T-A.com. You can find us on Instagram at C Costa Trips, which I would recommend guys follow us. Keep an eye on what we're doing out here. It's exciting. As Malcolm says, we're always up to trying to find some new adventures. And or Facebook. And we hope to hear from you, you know. Come out and experience it. See what we're talking about, you know. Surf with Malcolm. We all meet up at Witch's Rock and show you a good time.
Sounds like a plan, mate. Steve, thank you so much for your time, for chatting to me today. And whenever I get to speak to someone like you who shares, you know, many of my passions with of the ocean and you know, you're a passionate father and passionate husband and passionate about the culture here. It makes me feel a little more normal, like, hey, there's other people out there who like you
yes.
too.
So
thanks for providing me with that personally, Steve. It's very nice.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for having me, man. This is exciting. This is awesome.
Pura vida, man.
Pura vida, brother.
Here's a sneak peek of the next episode. Episode 18, we sit down with 45-year-old Canadian Penny Light. Penny opens up about the decision to leave her long-term corporate career, her working experience in Costa Rica, as well as her lifelong wanderlust.
Costa Rica was more and more becoming my home, and I have a Costa Rican mom and grandma, you know, like, and when you live as an expat, as you know, it's, you know, and it takes a while to really get established. And I was just like, after 6 years, really feeling like that was my home, and loving it. And my business was doing well and, you know, all the good things. And then, you know this, then COVID hit.
If you'd like to watch the video of this episode, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. For a full list of show notes, episodes to your inbox, information on becoming a guest on the show, and how to support the show on Patreon, head to www.movetocostaricapodcast.com. Remember, new episodes are released every Thursday by 6 a.m. Costa Rica time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, pura vida.